السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. حضرت مسیح موعود علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی سیرت
فاتحہ. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih V, may Allah be his helper, stated, while discussing the life and character of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, I mentioned some incidents of his standard of truthfulness. Today, I will also narrate a few incidents. A case was filed against the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, by Dr. Henry Martin Clark. It was a case alleging attempted murder, and it was an extremely dangerous case. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, this case filed by Henry Martin Clark was so serious that it could even have resulted in the death penalty. He then draws a comparison and mentions the case brought against Jesus, peace be upon him, by the Jews in the Roman court, and says that a similar case was also brought against me. In relation to Jesus, peace be upon him, it was the Jews who brought the case against him. However, under this government, the one who filed the case against me was a respected Christian clergyman and a doctor, that is Dr. Martin Clark, who accused me of attempted murder. He gathered every evidence against me, so much so that even Maulvi Abu Sa'id Muhammad Hussein Batalvi, who was a fierce opponent and enemy of this movement, appeared in court to testify. Furthermore, he gave evidence against me to the best of his ability and tried everything to prove the case against me. The case was heard before Captain Douglas, the Deputy Commissioner of Gurdaspur. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, remarks that perhaps by then he had been transferred to Shimla. In any case, the entire case had been prepared in his presence. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says that all the evidence was presented against me with great intensity. In such circumstances, no legal expert or man of sound judgment could have said that I could be acquitted. The demands of the time and the apparent circumstances were such that I should have been committed to the Sessions Court, from where I would either receive the death penalty or be placed in jail for life, i.e. life imprisonment. However, just as God Almighty had informed me prior to the case, He also disclosed beforehand that I would be acquitted. Many members of my community were already aware of this prophecy. Thus, when the case reached this stage and the enemies and opponents became convinced that the magistrate would now commit him to the Sessions Court, at that point, Captain Douglas said to the police, I get a feeling in my heart that this case is fabricated. Captain Douglas, who was the judge, was not convinced. My heart does not accept that such an attempt was actually made and that they sent someone to murder Dr. Clark. You should investigate the matter again. God Almighty placed this thought in the heart of the judge that he should instruct the police commander to conduct a further investigation. The Promised Messiah further states, "This was a time when my opponents were not only engaged in every kind of scheme against me, but those who claimed that their prayers find acceptance were also occupied in supplication." That is, they were not only making efforts, but they were also praying and supplicating with utmost fervor that I be convicted. However, who can challenge God Almighty? I know that Captain Douglas received certain recommendations, but he was a just magistrate. He said, "We cannot commit such misconduct." In other words, if the verdict is wrong, then I cannot give such a verdict. In summary, when this case was handed over once again to Captain Le Marchand for investigation, the captain summoned Abdul Hamid and told him to speak the truth plainly. Abdul Hamid repeated the very same story that he had previously narrated before the deputy commissioner. He had already warned that if there was even the slightest contradiction in his statement, he would be caught. So he continued repeating the same account. However, Captain Le Marchand said to him, "You have given this statement before, but the officer is not satisfied with it," meaning the magistrate was not convinced because he felt Abdul Hamid was not speaking truthfully. When Captain Le Marchand pressed him again, Abdul Hamid burst into tears, fell at his feet and pleaded, "Save me." The captain reassured him and told him to speak openly. At this point, he revealed the truth and openly confessed that he had been coerced and threatened into making that statement. He admitted clearly, "Mirza Sahib never sent me to commit murder." Hearing this, the captain was pleased and immediately sent a telegram to the deputy commissioner stating that the case had been thrown out. Subsequently, the case was presented in Gurdaspur, where Captain Le Marchand gave his testimony under oath and had his sworn statement recorded. The Promised Messiah states, "At that time in court, I observed that the deputy commissioner was very pleased that the truth had come to light, and he was extremely angry with those Christians who had given false testimony against me. He said to me, 'You may file a case against these Christians.' But since I dislike litigation, I replied, 'I do not wish to file a case. My case has already been filed in heaven.'" At that very moment, Mr. Douglas wrote the judgment. A huge crowd had gathered that day. While delivering the verdict, he said to me, "Congratulations to you, you have been acquitted." The Promised Messiah further states, "I could see that at that time the whole world had become my enemy. And this is often how it happens. When the world turns to causing harm, even the walls and doors seem to sting. It is only God who saves his truthful servants. I was truthful and therefore Allah the Almighty saved me." Regarding this same case, whilst appearing in the proceedings, a non-Ahmadi lawyer testified to the truthfulness and noble character of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. His name was Maulvi Fazluddin. Hazrat Shaykh Yaqub Ali Irfani recorded his statement in his book Hayat Ahmad, where he writes, "Another magnificent moral incident which testifies to the truthfulness of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, also became manifest in this very case and demonstrated the extent of his love for truth." Listen to this account in the words of the late Maulvi Fazluddin Sahib, a lawyer, as narrated by my sincere contemporary Lala Dinanath, editor of the newspapers Desh and Hindustan. These were two newspapers. He was a Hindu and a friend of Sheikh Yaqub Ali Irfani. He states, "You know how greatly I revere Mirza Sahib. I consider his rank and status to be extremely lofty. Although, regarding his claims from a psychological point of view, this was the opinion of the lawyer, I believe that he made a mistake in understanding them, that his claims were not true. Nevertheless, he was certainly a righteous man, a great soul, and a deep spiritual person of an exceptionally high rank. This belief of mine about him was formed by a particular incident." He relates this incident as follows. "You know Hakim Ghulam Nabi Zubdatul Hukama, and you also know Maulvi Fazaldeen Sahib, the lawyer. Here the Hindu editor is narrating the incident, and he is now relating the words of Maulvi Fazaldeen Sahib. He continues, "You also know Maulvi Fazaldeen Sahib, the lawyer. At Hakim Sahib's place, friends would often gather in the evening, and I too would go there. One day, several friends were gathered there, and by chance, the mention of Mirza Sahib came up. One person began opposing him, but in such a manner that it was beneath the standards of decency and morality." The Hindu editor, upon hearing this, says, "The late Maulvi Fazaldeen Sahib became greatly stirred after hearing this. With great passion, he said, 'I am not a disciple of Mirza Sahib, nor do I believe in his claims, whatever the reason may be. However, I firmly believe in his great personality and his moral excellence. I am a lawyer, and people from every class come to me in connection with legal cases. I have seen thousands upon thousands of people, and through other lawyers as well. Even very righteous individuals, about whom one could never imagine any kind of pretense or showing off, when advised legally in court matters, did not hesitate to alter their statements if they thought it necessary. However, in my entire life, I have only seen Mirza Sahib as the one person who never moved away from the station of truth. I was his lawyer in one of his cases, referring to the case involving Henry Martin Clark. And in that case, I drafted a legal statement for him and presented it before him. After reading it, he said, 'There is falsehood in this.' I replied, 'An accused person's statement is not given under oath, and legally he is permitted to say whatever he wishes.' Upon this, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said, 'The law may permit a person to say whatever he wishes, but Allah the Almighty does not permit it. Allah has not granted permission for someone to lie, nor indeed is this even the true intent of the law. Therefore, I can never agree to make a statement that is contrary to the facts. I will present the matter exactly as it is.' Maulvi Sahib, the lawyer, then said, I said to him, 'You are knowingly putting yourself into difficulty.' Upon this, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, replied, 'To knowingly put oneself into danger would be for me to make a legal statement in order to gain an unlawful advantage and thereby incur the displeasure of my God. That is something I can never do, no matter what may happen.'" Lala Dinanath Sahib narrated this incident to Sheikh Yaqub Ali Afani Sahib, who was an editor. He said that Maulvi Fazaldeen Sahib used to say that the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said these words with such vigor that a unique expression of passion and fervor appeared upon his face. After hearing this, I said, i.e. the lawyer said to the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, "You will not benefit from my legal representation." Upon this, he replied, "I have never even imagined that any benefit would come through your advocacy or through the efforts of any other person, nor do I believe that anyone's opposition can destroy me. My trust is only in God Almighty, who sees my heart. I appoint you as my lawyer because utilizing one's means is a matter of proper conduct. And since I know that you are honest in your work, I appointed you. This is merely an outward means which ought to be used, and that is why I am using it. I am not dependent upon you." Maulvi Fazaldeen Sahib used to say that he again submitted, "This statement is what I recommend." The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, replied, "No, submit exactly the statement that I myself have written, without caring about the outcome or result. Not a single word should be changed. And I tell you with complete certainty that it will be more effective than your legal statement, and the result that you fear will not occur. Rather, God willing, the outcome will be good. And if it is even supposed that the result does not appear favorable in the eyes of the world, meaning that I am punished, even then I do not care, because at that time I will be happy that I did not disobey my Lord. Lala Dinanath used to say, Maulvi Fazluddin Sahib presented the defense of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, with great passion and sincerity in this manner, and that he immediately wrote down the Promised Messiah's statement right there. Such is the wondrous power of God's manifestation, that he was acquitted on the basis of that very statement that he had written. Maulvi Fazluddin Sahib described his truthfulness and his courage and bravery in accepting every hardship for the sake of truth, which created a dense emotional atmosphere among those present in the gathering. Even those who were sitting outside and were opposing him fell silent. At this, some people asked him, "Then why do you not become his follower?" He replied, "That is my personal decision, and you have no right to question me about it. I consider him a perfectly truthful person, and I hold immense respect for him in my heart." Regarding this same incident, there is another narration from Master Nazir Hussain Sahib. He says, the late Maulvi Fazluddin Sahib, advocate of the High Court, was deeply attached to the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. And would generally accompany him in his legal cases. He told me that he considered the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, to be at the highest echelons of truthfulness. When I asked regarding this, he narrated an incident concerning the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. He said that in one case between the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and Deputy Martin Clark Sahib, a man named Abdul Hamid testified that the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, had sent him to kill Martin Clark. At that time, the late Maulvi Fazluddin Sahib, acting as legal counsel, said to the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, "In court, you should simply say that you do not know Abdul Hamid. After that, we will handle the rest of the proceedings ourselves. You should just state that you do not know him." The lawyer, who is now deceased, used to say that he assured the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in every way possible, that if he would only make this statement, then his success in the case would be certain, otherwise acquittal was impossible. The lawyer said that after listening to his suggestions, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, replied, "I have come into the world to establish truthfulness. I will never tell a lie, even if I am hanged. I know Abdul Hamid. He used to come to Qadian. I can never deny knowing him, no matter what happens." The lawyer, late Maulvi Fazluddin Sahib, says that he then submitted, "Saving one's life is obligatory. Therefore, if you do not wish to lie, then at least give such an answer that it is not clearly understood that you know him. Do not lie, but give a vague response." Upon this, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, replied, "I cannot even do that. God has sent me into the world to present his example. I am not prepared to present such an example merely to save my life. Even if my life is lost while speaking the truth, I will still have succeeded." The late Maulvi Fazluddin Sahib, who was a non-Ahmadi, said, "At that point, we became completely hopeless. When the Promised Messiah's statement was read out in court, he openly admitted that he knew Abdul Hamid. At this, we became convinced that acquittal was now impossible. However, when they witnessed the help that God granted him in that case, they were astonished at how God helped his appointed one, and how, in such a grave case, he was honorably acquitted and emerged successful." The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, The companions of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, were slaughtered, yet they did not desist from proclaiming the truth. They achieved such remarkable victories and feats as have scarcely any parallel in history. What was the reason for this? It was because they possessed sincerity, truthfulness, and fidelity. There are certain prudent and opportunistic atheists who place their complete trust in Almighty God and act solely for His sake. They are convinced that the help of God Almighty shall surely descend. Therefore, they never do such a thing, i.e. speak falsehood. Those who truly belong to Allah do not alter falsehood, nor do they withhold the truth. If someone were to ask me, "You claim to be the promised Messiah," then I shall explain how I respond to such a question. Nothing avails in this path except truthfulness and courageous resolve. So many legal cases were filed against me, yet what became of them in the end? Can anyone say that we ever retreated in fear because of these matters? Such fear would amount to shirk, associating partners with God. I firmly believe that God exists and that He assists His sincere servants. I say truthfully that whoever proclaims La ilaha illallah, there is none worthy of worship except Allah, with sincerity of heart, God Almighty remains with him. Islam alone is the religion that produces this quality. This blessing was not confined to him alone. Rather, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, "This applies to everyone. Whoever proclaims it with sincerity of heart and places true faith in Allah the Almighty shall be saved." There is also mention of the testimony of a Hindu acquaintance from childhood. He states, "I have known Mirza Ghulam Ahmad since childhood. He and I are of the same age. I have always maintained close contact with Qadian, and even now I observe that the excellent morals and noble habits he possesses today were present in him from the very beginning." He was speaking about the character of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He further writes, "He was truthful, trustworthy, and virtuous. Indeed, I am of the opinion that Parameshwar himself descended upon the earth in the form of Mirza Sahib, and that Parameshwar is manifesting his splendors through him." The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him's eldest son, Mirza Sultan Ahmed Sahib, writes, "My father remained constantly engaged in the service of religion. The members of the household had complete trust in him, and the people of the village also placed full confidence in him. Even those relatives who were otherwise opposed to him were so convinced of the righteousness of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that in disputes they would say, 'Whatever he decides shall be acceptable to us.' Everyone regarded him as trustworthy and truthful." As a Muslim, may Allah be pleased with him, states, "The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him's father, was concerned about how he would earn a living, since he did not have any interest in managing the family estate, nor did he want to take up any employment. There was a Sikh from a nearby village whose two sons would often visit our grandfather." As a Muslim says that he would visit his grandfather. One of them narrated an incident to me that the elder Mirza Sahib once said to him, "Go and speak to Ghulam Ahmed, who is of a similar age to you. Advise him that if he can't help in managing the family estate, then I shall arrange some employment for him." And so he conveyed this message to the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and mentioned that his father was becoming displeased, that he did not engage in any occupation. He also mentioned that his father said that upon my demise, would he rely on whatever is left over from his brother's wealth for the rest of his life? And so if he wills, I can arrange for his employment. Upon hearing this, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said, "My father worries unnecessarily. Let him know that I have already become occupied in the one whose service I wanted to be in." Despite the fact that our grandfather was a man engaged in worldly pursuits, the Sikh says that when he conveyed this response of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, he became silent and then said, "If my son Mirza Ghulam Ahmed has said this, then indeed he has spoken the truth, for he never utters a lie." Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, relates, "I remember very well, and I can never forget this incident, that in 1916, when the late Mr. Walter, who was a secretary of the All India YMCA, came to Qadian in order to investigate the Ahmadiyya movement, he expressed a desire to meet one of the old companions of the founder of the Ahmadiyya movement. At that time, the late Munshi Arora Sahib was present in Qadian. Mr. Walter was introduced to him in the Mubarak Mosque. After some initial conversation, Mr. Walter asked Munshi Sahib, 'What was the strongest proof that convinced you of the truthfulness of Mirza Sahib?' Munshi Sahib replied, I'm not a highly educated man, nor am I acquainted with many scholarly arguments. However, the thing that influenced me the most was the very person of Hazrat Sahib himself. I have never seen anyone more truthful, more honest, or possessing greater faith in God than he. Upon seeing him, no person could say that he was false. As for me, I was simply devoted to his very countenance and did not know any intellectual arguments. Having said this, the late Munshi Sahib became so overwhelmed with the memory of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that he burst into tears and wept uncontrollably until he was overcome with sobbing. At that moment, the condition of Mr. Walter, who was conducting the interview, was such that one could say all colour had drained from his body. His face became completely pale, like a freshly washed white sheet. Later in his book, The Ahmadiyya Movement, he made particular mention of this incident and wrote that a person who has produced such followers through his companionship cannot, at the very least, be called an impostor or a deceiver. Hazrat Mia Rahim Bakhsh Sahib relates, I came across a man by the name of Muhammad Ibrahim, who was an Ahmadi. We spoke for a short while, and I found myself convinced. That night I had a dream in which all four of us brothers were lost in a mountain cave, unable to find our way out. I climbed up from one side and made my way to the top, where I saw a train in motion, but it was running at a very great height above the ground. I stood bewildered, wondering how I was to board it. A man standing above called out to me, saying, take hold of the rope that hangs down from the sky, and only then will you be able to ascend. He saw all this in a dream. He says, in the morning, Ibrahim Sahib arrived at my door. I told him my dream, and he took out the Holy Quran and explained to me the meaning of the verse, وَعَتَسِوُ بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ, and hold fast by the rope of Allah. I wrote a letter to pledge allegiance straight away. The reply came that the pledge of allegiance had been accepted, but that I must come to Qadian in person. This reply came to me from the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, or from whoever wrote it, whether his secretary or another. So I made my preparations for Qadian without delay. When I boarded the train to Batala at Amritsar station, there were two or three Sikhs in my apartment, elderly men, who asked me where I was headed. I said, to Qadian. They replied, Mirza's Qadian? I said, yes, that is where I am going. Tell us then, what is he really like? I asked this not out of doubt, for I had already seen the dream, but simply for my own further reassurance, wanting to hear what others had to say about the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. They said, he is very well known. He claims to be God. This is what the Sikhs said. It was their way of understanding it, for according to the nature of their thinking, his actual claim was that he had been sent with divine revelation and had been sent to call people back to God Almighty. In any case, he says, purely out of mischief, for even though I had already taken the Pledge of Allegiance, a mischievous impulse came over me. I said to them, I know Mirza Sahib. In Sialkot, he and my father were both in employment together and used to smoke cannabis together. I said it merely in jest. Faith is fragile in its early stages. Nevertheless, he says, I told them that the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, used to smoke cannabis with my father. At this, those very Sikhs said, Mia, do not ever say such a thing. He is a man of great simplicity and purity, a man of the most complete truthfulness and trustworthiness. He is so renowned for it that people cite him as a byword. If someone speaks the truth, people in our community say, are you the son of Mirza Ghulam Murtaza? His truthfulness and integrity have become a proverb among us. He used to play with us in childhood and would recite from books to us. He was the son of a chieftain. That is, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was the son of the chieftain of Qadian, and we held him in great respect. He gradually changed over time, and there came a period when he withdrew entirely indoors and would not come outside. Meaning the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, had adopted a life of seclusion. He sat inside working his magic. These were superstitious people with no grounding in religion, and the notion was that he sat inside practicing some form of sorcery. And he has cast his spell for 4 miles in every direction around Qadian, meaning he had won people over entirely and compelled the acknowledgement of his truth. Whoever came to him from any faith, he would prove himself truthful in the light of their own religion and prove their religion to be in error. He says, he has come from the heavens. These were the things the Sikh told him. So having heard all of this, he says, when I then alighted at the guest house in Qadian, there were three or four young men there. I thought to myself, let me put this to the test. Let me see whether I have made the right choice or not. So I spoke to those young men sharply and with some harshness, but they responded with nothing but gentleness and the finest of manners, in spite of my rudeness. For I wanted to observe what the upbringing was like. Against my sharpness, they met me with great softness and courtesy. I told them I wished to meet Mirza Sahib. They said he has gone for a walk just now. A meeting will be difficult. As I wandered about Qadian, my heart grew restless. On account of the intense heat, I resolved to turn back and leave. His faith had not yet firmly taken root, so on the way, he encountered an Arab who said to him, Brother, you have come to Qadian. You must see the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, before you leave. If you have come all this way, then go back only after meeting the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. This time will not come again. Others will come, but this presence will not be found again. The opportunity is here. Go and meet him. But I paid no heed and told the coachman to set off immediately. The heat had worn me down and the meeting had not come about, and so I had resolved to return. He says, just then the call to prayer was said. I said to myself, let me pray and then go. I turned back towards the mosque. The Arab he had met earlier, the one who had urged him not to leave, came to him and said, Brother, from that very moment I have been in prostration, praying to Allah that He keep you here so that you may see the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Such was the sincerity of that Arab. He had said he was going to leave, so the Arab said that there is only one recourse, to present oneself before Allah and fall into prostration. He said, I have been in prostration from that moment, praying for you that you may see the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, before you go. He then says, I saw the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. He came and sat in the gathering. I stood before him, my beard, head, and mustache all shaved clean. It was a fashion even in those days among those who followed such styles. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, sat with his head bowed downward. I said to myself, until I see this man's face, I cannot have complete certainty. Though I had taken the pledge of allegiance by letter, complete certainty had not yet settled in my heart, and from his account, it seems it truly had not. After a little while, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, lifted his face and looked up. In that moment, my heart declared, you are truthful. When I saw his face, a voice rose from within my heart, truthful, true. And after a little while, he raised his head again and I said, Amanna, I have believed, wasaddaqna, and I affirm your truth. You are truthful. The third time he looked up, I was, as it were, utterly surrendered. Then the congregational prayer began, and after offering it, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, began to go inside. When a man standing by the door entreated him, Your Holiness, please pray for me. He replied, You are already within my pledge of allegiance. I pray even for my enemies. Hazrat Khalifa Nizamuddin Sahib relates, I had gone from Sialkot to Shikarpur in Sindh for employment. There I heard a great deal in opposition to the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. I had friends in Amritsar, so I travelled there from Shikarpur. From Amritsar, I intended to proceed to Sialkot, but I remained asleep and missed two trains bound for Sialkot. When I awoke, I learned that the trains had already left. Immediately, the thought occurred to me that Mirza Sahib's town was nearby and that I ought to at least see him. I then inquired when the next train for Batala would depart. I was informed that it would depart after half an hour. I purchased a ticket and arrived in Batala, from where I walked to Qadian. I arrived there around the time of Asr prayer, the late afternoon prayer, and met Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib. He knew him from his days in Sialkot, as he too was from there. He says, he was very pleased to see me. We offered the Asr prayer together. The next morning, Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib informed the Promised Messiah, peace upon him, about me, and then near the small opening from the mosque window, The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, accepted my pledge of allegiance. He says, merely upon beholding the countenance of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, my heart became fully assured that the world may be false, but this face could not be that of a false person. There was a unique attraction to His Holiness's countenance. Such a light radiated from it that it captivated hearts. Similarly, Hazrat Hakim Abdul Rahman Sahib relates, when my respected father pledged allegiance to the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and went to Chak number 276 near the Gujra port office in the district Lialpur, he preached extensively in that region and the people appointed him as their imam. When he began teaching the Holy Quran and the subject of the death of Jesus arose, he explained the matter of the death of Jesus in great detail. The people were astonished. He says, there was a man named Wazir-Din who was the local representative of the village. One day Wazir-Din said to Hakim Sahib, I require a large cooking pot. In those days, influential people would often keep large pots to prepare food for the poor or for large gatherings and functions held with the village chiefs. Good quality cooking pots are available in Gujranwala. Come with me there and let us purchase one. I replied to him, if you wish to buy a large cooking pot of good quality, then let us instead go to Patala, where even better ones are made. When we reached Patala, I said to Chaudhry Wazir-Din, Mirza Sahib resides nearby in Qadian. He is truthful and I have already pledged allegiance at his hand. You should come along as well. Upon this, Chaudhry Sahib said, I attest that he is indeed truthful. Chaudhry Sahib already knew about the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. As he said, in Sialkot, Mirza Sahib and I were both employed together. I was a land registrar and he worked in the office. As Hakim Sahib and Chaudhry Sahib went to get the cooking pots, they discussed the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and Chaudhry Wazir-Din remarked that the Promised Messiah must certainly be truthful, because I saw him during our days of employment in the office. He never accepted a bribe, nor did he ever utter a lie. He was exceedingly pious and righteous. Such a man could never make a false claim. He said that he had personally witnessed the Promised Messiah's youth. Such a person cannot possibly make a false claim. Come, I shall accompany you. Thus, Chaudhry Sahib immediately went along and pledged allegiance to the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Mia Firozdin Sahib relates, my grandfather's name was Mia Nizamdin. During the period when the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, came to Sialkot for employment, my grandfather arranged a rented house for him in the Salu Gujar quarter. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, also had a gold ring made by my grandfather weighing 6 mashas and sent it to his home. Thus, my grandfather enjoyed a very close relationship with the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. When the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, made his claim of being the Messiah, my grandfather pledged allegiance after some time and told the entire family, I have known him from the days when he was employed here. Therefore, all of you should pledge allegiance to him at once. This cannot be the countenance of a liar. Thus, my entire family pledged allegiance to the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in 1892. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates, Munshi Abdul Aziz Sahib Ojalvi related, around 1890, I was serving as a land registrar in the village of Jagatpur Kohliyan, Tehsil Gurdaspur. In 1891, after great effort, I secured my transfer from the village of Sikhwan in Tehsil Gurdaspur. At that time, I was not an Ahmadi, though I had heard mention of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. I was not opposed to him. However, the one thing that held me back was that all the religious scholars were against him. After arriving in Sikhwan, I became acquainted with Mia Jamaluddin Sahib, Imamuddin Sahib, and Khairuddin Sahib. They gave me the Promised Messiah, peace be upon his book, Izal-e-Oham, to read. After offering prayer, I began reading the book. As I continued reading it, the truthfulness of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, became embedded in my heart like a firmly driven nail, and all my doubts vanished. A few days later, I traveled to Qadian with Mia Khairuddin, and I had my very first glimpse of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, near the Gol Kamra, the round room. I said to Mia Khairuddin Sahib, this is not the face of a liar. Therefore, I pledged allegiance. In the same manner, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates another account of Hazrat Chaudhry Zafrullah Khan Sahib. The Honorable Sir Chaudhry Muhammad Zafrullah Khan Sahib stated to me in writing that when I had the opportunity to behold the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, for the very first time in Lahore, at that time in my heart, there was no criticism whatsoever concerning his beliefs. The impression that took root in my heart at that very moment was only this, that this person is truthful, and whatever he says is true. Moreover, Allah the Almighty instilled in my heart such a love for him that this alone became for me the fundamental proof of the truthfulness of the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him. Although I was but a child at the time, from that day until now, I have never at any point felt the need for any further proof. Thereafter, such incidents continued to occur successively as became the means of strengthening my faith. But I accepted the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, merely upon beholding his blessed countenance. And that very impression remains to this day the greatest proof for me of the truthfulness of his claims. In this respect, I consider myself to have been an Ahmadi from the 3rd of September 1904, the very day on which I first saw him. Likewise, Hazrat Mia Sadruddin Sahib states, when I pledged allegiance, I said to my father, do you know why people are coming to Qadian in such numbers? He replied, I do not know. I said, Mirza Sahib says that he is the promised Messiah. My father replied, this statement must be true. I have observed this person since childhood. He does not utter a lie. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, now observe how God has completed his proof upon you in such a manner that by establishing thousands of arguments in support of my claim, he has granted you the opportunity to reflect as to what degree of insight and understanding the person possesses who calls you towards this community and how many proofs he presents. Furthermore, you cannot level against my earlier life any allegation of fault, false accusation, falsehood or deceit, so that you may suppose that perhaps this too is a lie uttered by one who had previously been accustomed to falsehood and slander. Which one among you can criticize any aspect of my earlier life? Thus, it is the grace of God that from the very beginning he kept me established upon righteousness, and for those who reflect, this itself is a proof. Whilst admonishing us, the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, states, remember, when truthfulness fully manifests its effect, it becomes a light, which amidst every darkness serves as guidance for the one who adopts that light and grants protection in every difficulty. May Allah the Almighty enable us to understand this reality, to remain established upon truthfulness, and always to act in accordance with the highest standard of truth.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu, nasta'inuhu, wa nastaghfiruhu, wa nu'minu bihi, wa natawakkalu alayhi, wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina, wa min sayyi'ati a'malina, man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu. ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.